What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And we continue with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, the retail grocery chain. Mr. Green, their acting CEO, as well as one of the founding members of Fraser Foods. So you were saying to me, Robert, that it is a common practice in business to do these kind of semi-quarterly reviews, correct?
It is, Phil. When you are doing your employee review, you want to make sure that that all of your people are individuals that are quality individuals that you want to have in your employ. And these semi-quarterly reviews, as you mentioned, are very, very common in the business world, especially when you're dealing with the public directly, as we do.
All right. Now, in this particular review, you had a notice posted in the lunchroom. Where your store is for the, this is a lunchroom for the employees?
Right. We have a lunchroom. This is a place where individuals who are in our employ can go and have either their lunch or whatever snack they are having. There is a microwave oven there. There's also a refrigerator, coffee pot, bottled water, and so forth. We also have a bulletin board upon which we post notices.
And you posted a notice there that said what exactly?
What we posted was a notice that basically said sexual addiction. If you have this problem, if you are concerned, please call this number. And this is a method that's used by a lot of businesses in indicating, spotlighting or highlighting employees that may be at risk.
All right, so the sign said, if you have a sexual addiction?
No, the sign, Phil, specifically said, sexual addiction, ? If you have this concern, please call this number. We can help.
And, all right, it said, we can help. All right, and there was a number there.
And we posted a number. This number went directly to a special line in my office. The number was manned by an individual by the name of Jack Merhan, who is one of our department managers. He answered the phone and would take down the name of the individual, also querying them as to why they called and so forth. We are told, Phil, that this is the medical community, that sexual addiction does exist. It is not, it's not included in diagnostic or statistical manuals. But there are a great many people who suffer from it as a form of medication, a form of anxiety release. It is also obviously indicative of a predisposition to behavior that we do not find appropriate with our employees.
Kenny, is it safe to say that this is a way of entrapping somebody?
Well,
I mean, if you put up a sign that says sexual addiction, we can help.
No, we don't think so, Phil, because, look, entrapment may be if someone had a common problem, but the problem of sexual addiction is so rare and so extreme, and as I say, is such an at-risk behavior for any employee, no one who has a problem like that would possibly call. So,
and you got a couple of names. You got one name of a woman by the name of Audrey Ramirez.
That is correct.
Did you suspend her?
She is on suspension. She did go to the union, which I was hoping she wouldn't do. But we had to certainly at least bring her in and ask her a few questions. I know Audrey very well. As a matter of fact, we had socialized. It was a little bit of a shock, but what we basically did was...
Was that the only woman or only individual who called?
There were two others. One was a man, one was a female, whose names I'm not allowed to give because Audrey was the one who actually went to the union.
All right, we're talking with Robert Green. Our number is 1-800-449-8686 about a sign that was put up in the lunchroom at Fraser Foods where the employees work that said, sexual addiction, ? We can help. And the number was given. Now, anybody that called that number was actually getting somebody in your office. And this is a way of you finding out if people have this kind of problem. It doesn't sound like it's anything you want to help them with. It sounds like more that you're trying to find out who has a perverse nature that might affect your business negatively.
Phil, that's exactly it, and I thank you for spotting it. We do a lot of business with families. If someone has a problem like this, so-called sexual addiction, I want to know about it because I don't need to have that individual interacting directly with families, with wives, women, and so forth out on our floor, especially an individual who is perhaps a female checker that has direct interaction with men who are coming through the line and so forth. So I want to know which of our employees, forgive me for saying it, is some kind of a pervert.
And, all right, let me ask you a question. You put the sign up, though. You. This was, in other words, not a. You're the one that put up this sign, and it was not put up there to help anybody. It was put up to identify as you just said, who the perverts were. Now, if you're putting up a sign that says "Sexual Addiction, We Can Help," and somebody feels like they need help with this, wouldn't it be the indicated thing to give them the help rather than just target them as someone who's at risk?
Well, we, in the case of Audrey Ramirez, an individual who I had, you know, requested to have a drink with me, and she turned it down. It would have been something that I would like to do, certainly, but when Audrey called, who I'd had I'd had some interest in, now she's saying that she has a sexual addiction, and yet 2 months before, she wasn't available to have a drink with me, is unusual. Much of what we...
In what ways? Because...
Well, if she is saying she's got a sexual addiction, and yet she's turning down going out and having one beer, a short beer, then what does that say to me? Well, it says that she is, she may be lying, or she's sexually addicted, and yet I'm the CEO of the company, I'm not good enough to have a short beer with. And this is all...
But isn't that kind of personal? I mean...
Well, no, it's not. It speaks to her reliability as an employee. Number one, she claims to have a sexual addiction. That means that there is a good chance that she is not the kind of person I want interacting with the employees. Number two, it also speaks to her loyalty to me that I simply wanted to go and have a short beer, and she didn't want to go out with me, which means there may be a loyalty question to the company.
Yeah, but isn't it true that, sir, that you know, you're asking somebody out on a date, that it is not a very good idea, given the fact that you're the boss, she's the employee?
No, who said it was a date? I'm simply saying...
You're just saying you wanted to go out for a friendly beer.
Yeah, and as I indicated to her, and as I'm indicating to you now, it would have been a short beer, meaning there's two kinds of beers you can get, a regular beer, or ask the guy for a short beer, which you generally get in a bar. A lot of the Irish saloons have them. And yet she wouldn't do that, so...
So you feel that she's, number one, has a sexual perversion, and number two, is not loyal to the company because she wouldn't, even with this sexual addiction, date you. That's number one and two. And as far as this ferreting out the perverts go, as you put it, this sign that you put up, sexual addiction, ? Call this number, is not entrapping anybody. Because you're not going to be giving them...
Well, no, it's not entrapping them.
You're not getting them any real help for sexual addiction. You just want to find out who the perverts are.
Mr. Turner, you're making it sound as if...
That was your word, right?
Well, it was my word, but you're making it sound as if I'm looking... we are in a witch hunt. We're not. I just had been reading about this thing called sexual addiction. It sounded pretty phony to me. But I wanted to find out for myself.
All right, so if you find out that there are people working for you who feel they have this...
I'll give you an example. If the woman who works in our produce section has a sexual addiction, I don't want to have her handling certain vegetables or produce because I don't know where she's been or what her hands have been on, and I certainly don't want an individual like that working in our produce section putting their hands on squash or cucumbers, and I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. In other words, to them, this is some kind of a joke. To me, it's my business.
And all right, so an individual with a sexual addiction, if you don't know a lot about it, and I don't either, you're saying someone who has this problem is going to be in your produce section using these vegetables What, in a lascivious way, or a...
I don't know. The answer to your question is I don't know. I just don't need it. At this particular point where we're expanding our retail outlets to, we're opening another four stores, I certainly don't need the publicity. I just saw the press secretary for the Department of Homeland Security has been arrested for trying to seduce a child with his computer, Mr. Henry. I don't want any inkling of perversion in our business, and I certainly don't need a woman who professes to have a sexual addiction standing there in the produce section, with the squash or cucumber or these kinds of things, suggestively putting it in the produce section. Grocery store employees, checkers, produce people, great people. They're very social people, and they also tend to be people who like to bar hop and party. And I have to keep a lid on these things, and that's why I'm doing this. Now, I know she went to the union.
Well, you've got a problem with the union. This lady is saying that she called that number because she wanted to see...
Well, that's what she's saying.
She wanted to see if the number was for real. There's two other people that called it, and you have put all three of them on suspension.
Absolutely. If they call a number that says, do you have a sexual addiction, and they call a number, boom. As far as I'm concerned, they got one. I don't care what they say later on. They've got one, and I don't want them handling food.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know whether it's right or wrong for an employer to put up a sign that says, we can help you with a problem, and then when you call that number, the number actually goes to his office, and he's now identified you as someone who has a problem, number one, and number two, someone that needs to keep an eye on. And that's what he's done here, Mr. Green, with this, we got her name here. Oh, Audrey Ramirez works in the produce section. Called up, claimed she had a sexual addiction. Now they got her on suspension. You heard Mr. Green say, I don't want perverts working for me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Tell the lesbians that Bob Green is coming and hell follows.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back here with Robert Green of Fraser Foods, who put a sign up in his lunchroom that said, sexual addiction, we can help. And then you gave a number. That number goes to a hotline in your office, correct?
Well, it's not a hotline.
But I mean, it was a number that went to your office, and there is an individual there answering the phone, right?
Yeah, there is an individual there answering the phone who's a member of our staff, and he took down the names of the people that called. And at that time, we then called them into the office. We told them that they had been caught in a what we call a operational quarterly review sting, that if they have a sexual addiction or they consider themselves to be a sex addict or they consider themselves in any way to have some sexual malfunction, or I shouldn't say malfunction, dysfunction, we want to know about it. We then proceeded to ask, in this case, Audrey, we asked her questions. What is she talking about? Why did she call? We also had another man by the name of Jim Finch who came in. We had two other calls from two other women. All of these people came in after saying they had a sexual addiction.
But they thought they were calling a legitimate hotline. They thought...
I understand that.
They thought they were calling a legitimate hotline that was going to give them help with their sexual addiction.
I understand that, yeah.
And it wasn't, was it?
No, it wasn't. And
so I want to ask you, you don't make any apologies for this, do you?
Why would I make apologies, Phil, for trying to find out who the individuals are on my staff that are...
First of all, you call them perverts. I'm looking at a manual here that has to do with so-called sexual addiction. There's nothing here that indicates that they're perverts, that they're perverts or that there's a perversion going on. It's simply that they have an addiction to sex that sort of transcends relationships. The so-called key feature is it's...
I can quote the chapter and verse, Mr. Andrew. There's an obsessive, unmanageable nature to the person's sexual appetites. And I had up here three or four... Actually, we had three women and one man who had answered the number. And when they came up, I said to them, I said to Audrey... I said to Kimberly, and I said to Amanda, all three of the women are checkers. I said, so you guys have sexual addictions? And they said, we feel that we've got a problem, yes. And they were...
They must have been confused talking to you.
Well, they were embarrassed because they knew they'd been hiding something. And I said, well, if you have a sexual addiction, what does that mean? And I wanted to get some information out of them. And they were reluctant at first. I told them that this was important for me to know because their jobs were certainly on the line. I was not going to have my business compromised. Then I said to the one lady, well, if you're does that mean you want to, do it anywhere? And she said, yes, it does. And then one of them was married. And so I looked at Bob Hoskins, who had been one of our people helping me. I said, hey, why don't we, I said, let's have some fun. And I said, let's test it out. I said, do you want to go get a drink? And they said, no, we don't. And I said, right there, that's an insult to me and Bob, because you say you've got a sexual addiction, and I'm reading it right here. And
Wait, hold on for a minute. Are you telling me...
No, but the definition is an unmanageable, obsessive nature.
No, but are you telling me you get these people up there because you don't want to find... You want to find out if these people are perverts, and...
Well, you want to find... That's the first step, is finding out if you've got perverts working for you. The second step is, are they lying? Will they do it out on the street? Would they do it on the street? And I said, do you want to go have a drink? And
why did you ask them out for a drink?
Because I have to know, are they lying about having a sexual addiction? Was it a crank call? Or are they willing to do it out on the street?
All right, so you took these women out, you and this guy, Otskins. You took them out for drinks.
That's correct.
And then what?
And then we asked them, well, you're going to misunderstand me now because...
No, I'm not. What did you ask him?
We asked them, is this what you do? Do you have sex with anybody? And they said, yes. And we said, would you be willing to have sex with us? And they said, no. And I said, why? You have a sexual addiction, which means it's obsessive. And they said, because we know we're in trouble. And that's when I got angry.
All right, now, she said that you started screaming and throwing, and you threw both women out of the car.
We didn't throw them out of the car, no, sir.
Well, you dropped them off on some corner, and the line that Ms. Miller, Ms. Ramirez said, not Ms. Miller, Ms. Ramirez said, go ahead and streetwalk and earn your cab fare home.
No, I did not. I said, look, maybe you'd be more comfortable selling it on the street then.
Mr. Green, I'm having a hard time. You say that you put up this sign, do you have a sexual addiction, in your office to trap perverts. Now, you found two women who say they had one. You asked them out for drinks. You asked them if they wanted to have sex. They said no because they were afraid to have sex with their boss. They were afraid they were in trouble. And then you lost your temper.
Yes, I lost my temper.
I mean, they said you began screaming and yelling and then told them to get out of the car.
I lost my temper because you got a sexual addiction. You are compulsive. You are thinking about it morning, noon, and night. And when I look at her and I say, okay, do you want to have sex with me? No. Nothing could be more insulting. There's an old saying, Phil. What's the difference between a whore and a bitch? The whore will have sex with everyone. The bitch will have sex with everyone but you. And you know, that's happened to me more than once.
I don't need to hear these definitions, sir. I mean, we're talking about...
I'm trying to protect my business.
No, I know you're trying to protect your business, but this is a... It's a peculiar way, I think.
Well, no, there's nothing peculiar about it. I want to know who's out there doing it out in a field someplace than coming in and handling the food. I need to know who has this problem.
All right, Robert Green with us on the Phil Hendry Show, and the idea of finding out who the perverts are, who has a sexual addiction. This man is talking to us about putting up a fake hotline number in the lunchroom at his business. Four people called that number, and he brought them into his office and began asking them about their sexual addictions, even to the point of asking two of the women out for drinks. And when they refused to have sex with him, he thought that they were lying and were not perverts at all and were wasting his time. What I'm trying to find out here is, does he really want to know who the perverts are on his staff, or is he just trying to find out who the women are that want to have sex? 1-800, a whore will have sex with everyone, the bitch will have sex with everyone but you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, skull-numbing doucheness.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm sitting in my car, Phil. I'm ready to go home. I'm in a parking area.
Yeah, but you got the engine running there, and you told me...
No, I'm illustrating a point. I'm trying to find out who are the perverts, these sexual perverts that work for me. By putting up this sign, sexual addiction, we can help, I get people to call, and then I can find out, okay, A, do they really have this problem, and B, let's find out if they do. Now, it's been turned around on me to make me look like the pervert. So I'll give you a point. Just to illustrate, I'm sitting in a car right now with the engine running. There's carbon monoxide, and I've got the windows open. Now, I want to ask you something. If I wasn't serious about what I'm saying, Mr. Hendry, do you think that I would sit here on a phone, the CEO of a major company, and threaten suicide because you have offended me?
And what are you telling me? What are you telling me? You're threatening suicide? You're not threatening suicide. What you're doing is you're being dramatic, right? And you're saying...
No, I'm being dramatic, but I'm saying, if you're insulting me and saying that I'm the pervert, then guess what? I got the windows open in my car, I'm running my engine, I'll kill myself if you don't believe me. That's how serious I am.
Well, I don't believe that you're serious about killing yourself.
But at least I'm saying... At least I am sitting here, and there is carbon monoxide coming in.
All right, so in other words, your point is what? Your point is that you are so deadly serious about wanting to find out who the perverts are, you will breathe carbon monoxide and kill yourself.
Yes, if I am told that I'm a perv.
Nobody called you a perv, sir. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you pretty much said that I was.
This sounds kind of sort of like an invasion of privacy to me. I mean, what these people do in the sanctity outside of work is a little bit different than what they do on the job. I mean, if they're sitting there and leaving their job in order to go have sex or fornicate, then I think you probably have a right to know if they're doing it during company hours.
Exactly.
But I don't really think that outside of the job, that unless it affects their performance at all, that you can really say that, you know, you've got the right to make some test up or, you know, make some number for them to call and then make it a ruse that you are going to help them when it's really you just trying to find out who they are.
Well, of course, I have to protect my company.
But how do you protect your company by being deceitful and deceptive to those that you employ?
Number one, I'm protecting the company. I'm protecting the workers who do not have these kinds of perversions, who do not have these kind of exotic tastes. If someone has a sexual addiction and then they come in and they're putting their hands all over the meat and the produce, I mean,
well, would
you
have, are you
kidding?
Would you have a problem with them if these women that you had tried to do this with had went back and slept with you?
I wasn't looking for them to sleep with me.
Well, that's the problem I've got. I think you were.
No, I was not.
I think you were too.
No, I was not. I was waiting to see if they'd say yes.
So if they had said yes, you would have consciously said, well, it was just a test for my own personal gratification.
No, I would have said, okay, that proves you're a sex addict because here I am your boss, and you're going to go back. And I said, let's climb in the back and do it right there on that mattress. Now, can you imagine somebody saying yes to that? If they said yes to that, then I know I've got some kind of a sick animal that I don't want in my employ.
Well, if they're sitting there and they're flipping the burgers or serving the customers in the best way possible with a smile on their face and making you money, then what does it matter what they decide to do on the mattress back home?
Absolutely. And I guess you don't have a problem with them coming in with syphilis all over their hands and flipping your burger that way, huh?
Wait a minute. Most of these places use... do you have people handling the produce who are not wearing rubber gloves?
What do you mean rubber?
Well, those plastic gloves...
You don't do that in a supermarket. First of all, the customers don't want to see some guy with rubber gloves on hand. They want to see a natural farmer look.
What does that mean?
I mean, in other words, when there is someone handling the produce, they want it to seem as if, I don't know, it's Mr. Green Jeans doing it.
So you're telling me if I went into your establishment, I would much rather see someone with their bare hands who's just sneezed wiping it on their jeans or whatever handling the food versus wearing gloves.
What supermarket do you shop at? Do they wear gloves in the supermarkets?
Well, we're talking more about like I know Subway Sandwich Shop, they use the gloves.
Those little plastic things.
Well, have you ever seen who works at Subway? I'm talking about people who are in our produce. In the produce section of a supermarket, it's different from a fast food place. You don't need to wear gloves in there because people want to see, generally, a guy who's, you know, putting the carrots out or the celery, who looks like he just came out of the house and is going to start to, drive a tractor or something.
And it just sounds to me like you're in a witch hunt.
In California, it is generally an Asian American, a man from the Ventura County area, who is, you know, he knows how to do it.
Did you hear what the man said? It's a witch hunt. All right, Jason, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I'm sitting here with open windows and carbon monoxide pouring in, and you don't care.
Look, you're the guy. I don't believe, first of all, sir, that you're actually... I believe that you're probably driving.
No, I am not. I am sitting in a garage right now with carbon monoxide fumes pouring through the window.
Well, I don't believe you, because I'm listening to you. You've got a very sharp...
It's an open-air garage, but the fact of the matter remains...
You have a very sharp way of talking. I don't believe that you're being overcome by any kind of carbon monoxide fumes.
I am telling you that to call me the instigator of these perversions, I'd rather breathe these fumes until they find me against the wheel of my car.
I don't believe you. And furthermore, I'll tell you something else. You're going to be sued by these women, and they're going to sue you for sexual harassment. They're going to sue you for wrongful termination. They're going to this entire idea that you've got some kind of a scam. It's a sex addict hotline. You there?
Barely.
Mr. Green? Are you there?
I'm barely here.
Mr. Green, I don't believe that you are trying to commit suicide, sir, and I don't believe that you are barely there from carbon monoxide fumes, and I don't believe that I have pushed you to the point of suicide because I've questioned your integrity concerning the sex addict sign you put up and your intentions towards your employees. What do you think of that?
My death will be on your hands. You've got blood on your hands.
You know what? It's funny how you can barely talk, but you can hear everything I'm saying.
That's what happens with carbon monoxide poisoning. And by the way, you won't have blood on your hands because you don't bleed when you die from carbon monoxide. You'll just have gas. You'll be walking through a vapor, a world of vapor.
Bud, call this guy's cell phone.
It's turned off.
Your cell phone's turned off?
Yes.
So, Mr. Green, I'm sorry that you're killing yourself. I think this is overly dramatic. I'd be surprised if you have a job tomorrow. I think the board of the Fraser Foods Company will probably want to remove you. I think you're an embarrassment. And I think the reason why, if you're really killing yourself, if the reason is that you asked to have sex with a couple of employees in a parked car on a mattress to, quote, find out if they were perverts.
That's right. Oh, you know, Mr. Henry, you think you'll pay for your sins.
Put them on hold, man. I got the number of call the other number that I gave you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The juices flow when Bob Green's in town.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
But you did that to illustrate your point. It's the same thing. That's why I didn't believe you.
But the point that I'm trying to make here, Phil, is not that, you know, whether I commit suicide or not. I had you sucked into believing that...
No, I was not sucked into believing. I'm not as dumb as some of the people that work for you, sir.
Well, Mr. Henry, you may consider my employees stupid. And they may well be, but the fact is, if any of them have these sexual perversions, I'm going to know about it and I'll find out about it, even, yes, if I have to ask them to sleep with me, because I have no intention of actually following through. I want to know what these people will do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Patty, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to ask this guy, what gives you the right to post something like that to say that you want to find out who these people are?
Well, Patty, as an employer, I need to know who in my employ, especially the business I'm in, which is retail grocery, who people that my customers will have contact with, how many of them are these people that are into these kind of exotic stuff.
I don't really think that's any of your business.
Well, it is my business when we're talking about children, women, single men.
Are you married?
I was.
Well,
I'm currently single. And the other reason is, are these people, do they think it's some kind of a joke? See, even if they call because they think it's funny that people have sexual addictions, I want to find out too. And when I asked if that one would sleep with me, I had no intention of sleeping with her.
Yeah, but you're saying let's crawl in the back on that mattress. There was an oily mattress in the back of a van, and where were you? You were down in the warehouse district of Los Angeles?
Doesn't matter where you are. If you're a sex addict, you'll have sex. If you're a sex addict, you'll have sex in an alley in China. You'll have sex in an alley in the filthiest section of Bombay. That's what they do. That's what I've been reading about. And I wanted to see it up close and personal. I mean, not because I was interested in it, but because I want to know if there's somebody like that working for me.
Yeah, you'd like to go out with her, wouldn't you?
Yeah, see, that's the kind of childish attitude that I haven't really gotten from interviewers, but you've been giving it to me in spades, Mr. Henry. Thank you.
You know, no, thank you, sir. Dawn, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
I'm amazed. I'm just amazed that this gentleman thinks that he can ask the questions that he's asked to women. I mean, there's laws.
Am I not allowed to find out who's you know, bringing disease into my grocery store?
You know what? By the government of USA, no, you're not. I mean, you can't ask your clients or your employees if they have AIDS.
How about
if you had a hotline number up? Do you have AIDS? Do you need help coping with your disease?
Right.
And what if you pulled them in there? You'd be
What if? But I didn't, because I realized that people with AIDS are protected. People with gonorrhea and syphilis, that's a whole other story. I guess you would want to come into a store with your children and go ahead and begin to get some cucumbers that somebody who's a sex addict just had their hands all over.
You know, a sex addict means nothing to me. Let's talk about men that go in the bathroom every day and do their deed. You know, and then they go and work with cucumbers.
I'm not aware of that, Dawn. Are you?
Well,
so what do? You take pictures of that?
We know.
No, I don't.
We're living in the real world. I don't know what books you're reading about sex.
Sorry, Dawn,
that's
but
no
you're going to have to tell the rest of us how you know about this.
Well, how do we know about this?
Not we, you.
You know what? You're interested in hearing what I know about because you are the pervert.
What did you drill a hole in the wall?
No, but the thing is,
what do you mean you know about
everyone
it?
Knows
no,
that
not
men
everyone.
Do it. It's
no,
a fact.
Not everyone knows.
Sex therapists
only
talk
you.
About it all the time.
No, they don't. You're exactly the kind of woman that I want to identify because you got all kinds of fantasies about what you wish was happening behind the door of a men's room.
Okay, you know what? You need to shut up because let me tell you something.
No, you got all kinds of fantasies.
You don't want to hear what I have to say.
I just heard you, and you can't prove one thing you're saying. You wish there was a guy behind the door in the men's room playing with it because that's that's how you people get off.
Oh, come on, man.
Let me tell you something.
That's how this
if
kind of woman...
manager, wait. Let's get this right. You're a business owner or a business manager, okay?
I happen to own.
And you're upset about a sex maniac or people that are obsessed with sex or whatever working with food
in
your
business.
Yeah,
but at least I don't have your problem, fantasizing about a guy in a toilet. Oh, Jesus.
No, my point is you're missing the whole point. Obviously, you're ignorant because the whole problem here is that you have confronted two women by deceiving them. You have pretty much put the... entrapment. That's what it is. It's entrapment. That's what you did to them.
Keep putting your foot in your mouth. Go ahead.
And you made them in a vulnerable state, ask them questions, and then, you know, they work for you, so they don't want to lose their jobs. I'm also wondering, Ramirez, she's Spanish.
You're grasping straws.
She lives in L.A., and her last name is Ramirez. It's a possibility that she's very worried about losing her job with you.
What?
And you've now cornered her.
If she lives in L.A., her name is Ramirez. I don't understand. First of all, Dawn, you got caught with your foot shoved in your mouth, along with whatever else you put in there, along with whatever else you...
That's not necessary.
Well, I think we know...
No, that's not necessary, Mr. Green.
She's the one that said...
Are you the one that wants to kill yourself in a car right now, or is that someone else?
I was joking. and Henry
no,
took the bait.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You were trying to make a point that, yes, if this wasn't the real thing, if this wasn't you really think, if you didn't think people
would stick
behind
you
for
ahead.
What you decided. You know, you know what?
You ought to quit while you're ahead.
I don't have to. You're the one who's going to be sued
stumbling,
by
muttering,
women.
Bumbling idiot.
All right, well, look at Mr. Green.
You're
the guy
business?
Who's got the lawsuit, and you're the guy that's looking down the barrel of a freaking lawsuit here.
Yeah, you're worried about people catching syphilis from your cucumbers. You need to start worrying about your bank account because
my cucumber,
if I was the woman that you put on, I mean,
hey, Dawn,
you would be sued to high hell.
Dawn, if you worked for me, I guarantee that my cucumber sales and the stocks wouldn't be adding up. There'd be a few missing. Yeah, there'd be a few missing.
You have the funny thing is you have no idea who you were talking to.
I'm talking to a woman who a woman who fantasizes about a guy in a toilet. Good.
All right, okay, I gotta take a break. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
If I'm gonna die for a word, my word is poontang.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I don't have the guts to do it because I absolutely do have the guts.
No, you don't have the guts to kill yourself. You're not. What is that?
I said I was going to breathe some gas. Well, what's wrong with that?
The whole thing's a big gag to you, isn't it?
Well, you ought to be sitting where I'm sitting. You'd gag. Jesus. You know, come to think of it, I wish they would steal some of the squash. Keep me from eating it. All right, anyway, Phil.
Get out of here before I kill you.